You are listening to the Unity Now podcast featuring the Reverend Sean Birch, the pastor of Spirit of Unity Baptist Church in Roanoke, Virginia. In this podcast, you will hear powerful messages from Pastor Birch and other ministers that tell of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. These messages will inspire, challenge, and help you grow in your relationship with God. I hope you're ready. I know I am. Let's be blessed by today's message.
Text will come from 2 Timothy. We'll begin at verse 14. Second Timothy, the second chapter. Second chapter, verse 14. Second Timothy, the second chapter, verse 14. Text reads like this from the New International Version. Keep reminding God's people of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. Avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Will you pray with me and pray for me? Sovereign God, we come to you right now just to say thank you. Thank you, O God, for your guidance. Thank you, O God, for your word. Thank you for our fellowship. But now thank you for the word that we are about to receive. The hope, God, is that the word we receive is one that will challenge us to live a life where our words will have value, meaning, and also build people up versus tearing them down. I trust you, God, that your word will be watered by your spirit and that it will help us to grow, not only physically, but spiritually, so that when we take in the word, the nutrients of the word, we will be able to properly live out the word of speaking to one another in a way that would be pleasing to you. So God, I could just simply say, have thine own way right now with this earthen vessel you call Sean Birch. Use me for the benefit of your kingdom, O God. Help me as I stand behind this sacred desk. Remove anything that will get in the way of your word. I trust you with me, O God. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated in the house. Keep reminding God's people of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. Avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Now, originally, my sermon title was going to be stop harming the church with our words. But then in a bold move, the Holy Spirit switched it up. And I will not apologize. I want to tag this text, shut up before God shut you down. Shut up before God shut you down. Let me use a little bit more inclusive language. Shut up before God shuts us down. In 2 Timothy, the second chapter, we encounter an author by the name of Paul, who writes this letter to his son in the ministry. As we observe this chapter, observe 2 Timothy, we have to come to a realization that at one point, Paul was released from prison, and now we find the Apostle Paul rearrested and back in prison. He just can't seem to keep himself out of jail. And the reason for this is because Paul, on his Christian journey, on his crusade, he continues to preach and teach the word of God to people in his context. He's trying to reach people and let them know about the false teachings that exist in their context, but also how we need to give our lives to God. We find here in 2 Timothy that Paul is actually nearing death. I mean, it comes later on in 2 Timothy. But there is an impending doom. And there is also a sense of urgency. Because for most of us, if you know, Paul ends up being led to Nero's chopping block. And it is there that we realize that as much as we live, we must continue to make the best use of our life by preparing the next generation with the word so that they can have the word to be able to handle the challenges that they will face in the future and even right now. Look, you can be quiet on me all day long. But the fact of the matter is, we all come across some moments where we are weak, where we are tried, where we have cried, where we have been beaten down, and you ought to thank God that God put somebody in your place to feed you the word of God. And when you wanted to give up, you turned to that word, and the word gave you strength to keep on going. And so it is said that in the midst of our weakness, God's strength is made perfect. Paul also realizes that there are some characters along this Christian journey that just don't know how to shut their mouths. I mean, we get to a moment in Paul's teaching and training to Timothy where Paul is like, look, son, you are going to have to be strong because you're going to encounter some people. And I want to get this correct here. This text that I'm preaching from has everything to do about warning against false teachers, those who are speaking falsely about the word, those that don't use the word correctly. But might I also recommend that this text is telling us to be careful about those that continue to run their mouth about things that don't concern God. We have people hurting. We have people grieving. We have people struggling. We have people hoping to rise out of drug addiction. And yet we have people that will run their mouths constantly about the shape that other folk that are in. Oh, they don't look right. Oh, they don't talk right. Oh, they can't do right. Oh, they don't want to do this or they don't want to do that. Always something negative. But I stopped by to let you know this morning that if you keep running your mouth, God is going to shut you down. And so we have it that it is true that when the Bible says, the Bible lets us know that the battle is not ours, it's the Lord's. I don't understand why people in church always want to have verbal combat. It's almost similar to Mortal Kombat. Have you ever played that video game? Oh, no, yes, maybe so. Anyway, Mortal Kombat is a video game that is about various characters battling each other to be ultimately the best fighter in this different universe. These fighters have different types of powers and skills, and their skills can help them win or their skills can cause them to lose depending on how strong they are or how well they have trained. In this video game, we are battling one another to see who's going to win. Now, I remember years ago when I had an Xbox, my wife and I played the Mortal Kombat game. And I thought that I was real bad and that she couldn't beat me in that video game. But in that video game, as we were playing, I was trash talking and running my mouth. And so my wife is on the other controller saying, "You better be quiet, Sean. No, I gotcha, I gotcha, I gotcha." And so as I'm running my mouth feeling good about myself because I'm trash talking and I'm tearing her down, next thing I know, she uses her character to beat me up something bad. Now, I would imagine she wished that I was the one in that computer system being beat up at the moment. And so she showed me that she did less talking and more working, less talking and more observing, less talking and building up. You got to understand that when we are in the fight of our lives, you don't have to open up your mouth and start battling all by yourself. All you got to do is trust that God will be right there with you, leading and guiding you and helping you along the way. Somebody turn to the neighbor and say, "Neighbor, you don't got to fight this thing by yourself." Yeah. In that story, needless to say, my wife won. My wife won. I was concerned with verbal combat, and she understood the assignment, Mortal Kombat, and let her skills speak for herself. Paul encourages his son in the ministry to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So many people in our world today, and let's be honest, can we have an honest moment? How many times did you want to put your hands on someone in church, out of church, at work, at school, on the street, because folk wanted to run their mouths about you, run you down, run you out of the church? Can I give you this for free? If you want your church to be empty, keep running your mouth about things that don't concern God. I'm going to say it one more time. If you want people to run away from the church, if you want people to run away from God, then you keep running your mouth with your words instead of using God's words. It is God's word that's going to draw people to God and keep people in church. But open your mouth and you just might shut us down. We have to have these uncomfortable conversations in order to grow as Christian believers. We just can't always have the good stuff and always have these moments where we want to shout and just run all around the church. No, we have to have these tough conversations and bring into reality that there are some stuff that's just not right in the church, outside the church, in our homes, at our jobs, in our communities. And we have to remind ourselves to warn somebody about their conduct. But can I go a little bit further? In order for us to warn someone about their conduct, you better make sure your conduct is straight as well. It's interesting because Paul assigns Timothy to keep reminding God's people of these things. Of the verbal combat that's existing, of these things, the suffering that will continue to go on. Remind them about Paul's journey. Remind them about the things that they are doing that's not right and things that they need to refrain from. The competition, the competing against each other, but not really following the rules of God's word. I'm telling you right now, we are getting entangled in affairs that don't have anything to do with us. And we need to tangle ourselves up in the Spirit of God so that we can love each other a little bit more, so that we can serve our community better, so that we can be the church that God wants us to be. And I'm going to say this, and that's not to say that Brother Johnson people were complaining about your work. But if they were complaining about the mulch, or the bushes, or how the grass is cut, I would tell them to shut up. Why is that, Pastor? Because all you're doing is tearing down a person who willingly serves God to the best of his ability, and all you gotta do is shut up before you shut us down. I don't understand when people try to serve God, not only just to the best of their ability, but every fiber in their being, there's always some naysayer that pops around the corner running their mouth about the work that is being done. Is the work not good enough for you? Does it not fit your fancy? Do you have a different way of doing it or want to preach a different gospel on how it should get done? Beware of those false teachers. I'm gonna tell you one thing, anybody can preach you happy. Anybody can teach you something that sounds similar to the word of God and you'll believe it. But this text gives us some help on how we can identify the real from the fake. Oh, you don't want to shout right now. There's a lot of us that proclaim that there's a lot of fake people in church. How many of you have ever said that before? There we go. There's a lot of fake people in church. I don't want to go to church because there's too much drama in church. How many people have said that? Too much drama in church. How many people have ever said, I don't want to be in the church building because all the church ever does is fight each other, quarrel with each other, always got something nasty to say about everybody else? The very word that we're coming from today, the very scriptures that I can pinpoint, tells us that you keep on running your mouth, it is not going to be because God is not here. God going to be here whether you act crazy or not. It's going to be because you don't know how to shut your mouth and just do what God has called us to do. Yeah, so the good news is that this text actually gives us some hope. Look, I love how Paul in this chapter says, this is my gospel for which I am suffering. He is preaching, he is talking about a suffering gospel. Unfortunately, Paul is actually physically chained like a criminal in prison. But Paul says, but. See, that was y'all cue to say, but God. Anyway, although Paul is physically chained, Paul tells us something that is awesome. He says, even though that I'm being chained like a criminal, But God's word is not chained. CC, they thought I was going to let them get away with this silence and foolishness. Even though you and I might be chained up, convicted of some things, locked down by some people and locked down by some attacks, God's word is never chained. Oh, y'all not shouting like you convinced? How many times have you been chained down by other people's godless words? How many times have you been chained down and you were almost defeated by other people's godless chatter? But God's word is never chained. So when folk attack you with their mouth, God's word is not restrained. God's word is free and active and moving and shaping and remolding and helping and building and saving us from a burning hell. I might have been locked down, but God's word set me free. God's word set me free. God's word set you free. God's word keeps on working when no one else wants to work. When I wanted to cuss you out, God's word filled my mouth. Come on now. When I wanted to act bad, God's word changed my life. Is there anyone? Y'all better shut up. Y'all better shut up in here and let the word do what the word has intended to do, and that's transform you to be a better Christian and person in the world we exist today. So we understand now that God's word is not chained up. We understand that God's word is a trustworthy word. I hope we understand that God's word is always faithful and will remain faithful. And God's word is a source of power for each and every one of us. Yet, Paul identifies that although God's word is powerful and it's necessary for our growth, there are some words that is hurting us. And that is the constant quarreling about words. Yes. Why are you always fighting each other? Why are we always fighting each other with our words? It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. Yes. Now, I'm about to say something. And I want to make sure we're clear on this. Text says this, warn them, Timothy, warn. And Paul says, Timothy, warn them before God against quarreling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. First thing I need to address real quick, if you don't listen, you're going to ruin someone else. If you don't commit to shutting your mouth and utilizing God's word, you're going to ruin someone else. And the best way I can put it is just like this. God has blessed us, and I'm using us as an example. I'm not going to use any other church or speak in universal terms. Is it all right if I just use us as an example? It doesn't make sense that God's spirit brings us together in a spirit of unity. Yes. We declare that this is God's work. This is something that God wants us to do. But why in the world are we getting hung up on words that have no value? Yes. I'm going further. Because sometimes we speak out of pocket. In other words, it's something that my foster mom used to tell me. Sean, if you don't got nothing nice to say, don't say it at. Y'all had that same type of mama too. If you don't got nothing nice to say, don't say it at all. Spirit of unity. And other churches have done this because we don't want to shut up. Stop saying things that are going to hurt and offend people. Yes. Let's just say, for example, that pastor and Brother Johnson have it all. But instead of pastor going to Brother Johnson about the ought or the issue, I decide to go to Jackie about Brother Johnson. Jackie, Brother Johnson ain't right. Unfortunately, we have, let's just say for the sake of argument, we have Sister Ann who overhears our conversation of how bad I'm talking about Brother Johnson to Sister Jackie. And Sister Ann comes, be like, this might be a church I want to be a part of, or let's just say she's a part of this church. You hurt people when you speak out of pocket and speak out of godly character, and then you call somebody to say, I wonder if I made the right decision to be here. You weren't called to speak your opinion. We were all called to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. So what the church has done all these years so effectively is that we sabotage ourselves because we want to build small pocket alliances within the congregation and talk badly about one another instead of lifting each other together in Christian love and being the dominant force to be able to serve the community well. Somebody say, shut up. Yeah, we got to learn to shut up. Because there's people who are listening when you think they're not listening. And I really hope you're not saying it, hoping someone else would listen. Because the Bible says if you're not careful, you will only ruin those who listen. That's not Sean Birch saying it. That's what the Bible is saying. When have we become a church and a godly people who decide it's okay to ruin those who listen? What does that mean? That means you're ruining the worship experience for other people. That means you're ruining the idea of what God is supposed to be in the lives of others. Oh, you don't want to talk to me this morning. Yeah. Have you ever heard where people say, you know, they so nasty and mean and hateful to each other. How can they say they serve a loving God? I'm about to finish it like this and I'm done. Because not only do we got to be careful about who we ruin, it's not even the beef I have with Brother Johnson. It's the fact that I couldn't shut my mouth. Somebody who's visiting or somebody who's brand new heard what was going on directly and said, did I make the right choice? Can I stop by and tell you this? Yes, you made the right choice because you didn't join the church because of crazy people. You joined the ministry because God is still working in this place. Maybe it's our opportunity, your opportunity to continue to shine your light and really use the word of God to transform the hearts of the foolish man or woman so that they can get themselves truly right. Isn't it funny that the people that think they right ain't the ones that ain't right at all? But this is where it's going to hit home now. Because people do a lot of talking. Reverend Schultz, folk just like to run their mouths. People just want to sound smart. People want to say things that may agitate or say things that may sound better. You know, just want to run their mouths and see who will listen. And we're told to avoid that type of godless chatter. Bible says, do your best. One of my favorite scriptures, because one of the scriptures that I was exposed to when I was at Ebenezer, when I was working with Dr. Herman L. Word. It says right here, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Goes on to say, avoid godless chatter because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed. It says, do your best. Now, this is in the NIV. Most of you are familiar with this. Study to show thyself approved. Huh? Study to show thyself approved. Well, do your best is a translation of study to show thyself approved. Do your best. Somebody say, do your best.
Yes.
Other translation says, study to show thyself approved. Mm-hmm. There's a correlation between your studying and your doing. Oh, y'all don't want to talk to me right now. There's a correlation between your studying and your doing. When I study the word in such a way where I want asking God to put that thing in my heart. I study to understand. I study so that I can know better. But isn't there the old adjective that says, you know better than you do better. Study to show thyself approved. And it's all saying in the Greek to do your best. You can study God's word, and that's what's required of us, but it's also requiring us to live God's word. Deacon Morgan, let me put it like this. There's so many people who like to study God's word only to memorize it, but not actually understand it. So we got a lot of Bible quoters in the world and in the church today that will quote the scriptures but don't even know how to understand and live out the scriptures. Because if you know how to quote the scriptures, if you truly understand the scripture and the scripture told you to love thy neighbor, then loving your neighbor means that you're not going to always criticize somebody to tear them down in order to make yourself feel better. Loving your neighbor means that you're going to build them up and continue to help them be the best person that they can be. It means that you're willing to avoid the fight and let God fight the battles. It means that you're going to let go and let God and let God have God's own way. It means that you're going to continue to do your best to live right, do right, and help those who are in the worst time of their life. It just means that if we're going to be our best, do our best, present yourselves as one approved to God. So yet I will agree that handling the word, because it says, don't be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Yes, I will correctly admit that handling the word literally means that you must correctly translate the word. Study the word to understand it, that if you study it to understand it, exegete it, and be able to know what that word really says, then live it out. If I see you quote scripture, but you fail to live it out, it doesn't affirm your godliness. It affirms your ungodliness. We got to be careful to keep running our mouths, because instead of pushing people towards God, we're causing people to run away from God. This is much bigger than just pushing people out of church. Even though we claim we want all the help in the world, but you know, there's sometimes we want to run our mouths so much that we help people pack up their things and push them out the door. Oh, that's right. I didn't put sugar in this medicine. We can't shout on that because now we have to do self-reflection. You know how bad this word beat me up? Self-reflection. It means that Sean Burch is not perfect and there has to be a moment. What did I do to push somebody out the church? And don't look at me and be like, yeah, Pastor, what did you do? No, look at yourself. Because it just doesn't take one person, one pastor, one deacon, one teacher, one layperson, one congregant to make up the whole church or be able to fill the seats in the church. It takes everybody. And yes, this is a sermon of deep rebuke because we have to have a serious conversation about how we truly treat one another. And if we are a church, a spirit of unity in this church, I can't speak for no one else's church, but I'm going to speak for what we are going to be assigned to do. If you don't have nothing nice to say, don't say it at all. And if it's still on your heart and mind, you get down on bended knees and ask God to help your heart and mind. You having problems with your tongue, ask God to transform your tongue. You want to ask God for everything else. God, help me win the lottery. God, help me graduate. God, help me be able to lose weight. God, help me to be able to increase my intellect. God, help me to resist cakes. God, help me to resist Little Debbie. Little Debbie be looking good to all of y'all. Don't be sitting down there acting like Little Debbie. Don't be acting like Little Debbie didn't seduce you one day. Dancing around with her cakes. We want to ask God to help us and strengthen us for everything else, but we never want to ask God to bridle our tongue, to tame our tongue, to help us to not use idle words or words that have no value. I mean, Proverbs 14:23 talks about the very thing, asking God, the Lord, to refrain our tongues. So guess what? If you never ask God to refrain your tongue, it means you like the mess that's coming out of it. It means you're okay with speaking the language of the world. It means you're okay with continuing to talk bad about other people. It means that you like to dress up in a form of godliness, but actually not live any God at all. It means that you just want to be a wolf in sheep's clothing, pretending that you're a good Christian, pretending that you're a loving neighbor. All the while, you're going out there slaughtering people with your mouth. It means you don't want no good for anybody. It means you just want to attack people just to make sure you feel better or cover up any insecurities that you may have. It means that instead of you being a strong person, in fact, you are weak and weak indeed. I mean, I'm reminded about Jesus, and Jesus really continues to be the centerpiece of every story and every sermon and every Bible study lesson. And it's in the story of Jesus that we find that if we talk with gentleness and love, we can win more people over. If we continue to use the valuable word of God, the valuable word of God will transform lives and help lives to be improved so that people can find liberation and freedom. Don't use your mouth to lock people up in chains. Don't use your words to keep people held down. Don't use your words to push people away from God. And you better not use your words to cause people to run away from the church. You got to understand that when we are in the fight of our lives, and that we got to continue to use the word of God to draw people closer to God. I'm reminded by a text in Matthew 12 where Jesus has encountered a man that was brought to him. And this man was demon possessed. This demon possessed man was blind and mute. In other words, he could not see and he could not talk. Some of you need to stop talking right now that's been running people out of church. But anyway, let me help you out. This man was blind and mute, demon possessed. And Jesus heals this man. This man is healed, and now this man can talk and see. But this man, I don't even want to talk about the seeing part. I want to talk about the talking part. And I can only imagine that he has been liberated, and now his tongue, his mouth is free from the chains of this demon. And I just stopped by to let someone know today that although this person could not talk, Jesus can help you talk right. He can either help you talk again or talk right. All you got to do is go to the Lord, and the Lord will help you talk the right way. The Lord will deliver you from whatever is keeping you from being the person that God wants you to be. And the people were so astonished by the miracle that they said, could this be the son of David? But you got some folk that don't get the message and won't understand the assignment. You had some Pharisees that heard what the people said, heard that the people were wondering if this was the son of David. When you hear the son of David, you hear that they were calling Jesus, could this possibly be our Messiah? And the Pharisees didn't like it. Somebody say they didn't like it. Pharisees didn't like it. They heard what they said. They said, you know what? He's not the son of David. Nah. It's only reason why he can do what he does is by the power of Beelzebub. Beelzebub is a demon.
Beelzebub is an evil presence. Beelzebub is the prince of demons. Beelzebub is not a positive thing. Beelzebub is the only person that they could think of that Jesus could use power to drive out demons. Don't make sense. Why would a demon want to drive out a demon from someone else? No, it doesn't make sense. So that theology is wrong. But what happened here was that you got some folk that are jealous of one another and decided to say, we don't like who Jesus is. We don't like how people are talking about Jesus. We don't like the positive things they're saying about Jesus. And so we're going to say to everybody else that that was done by the power of Beelzebub. How many of you have pointed at your brother and sister in Christ and said that was done by the power of Beelzebub? How many of you have cussed somebody out? How many of you have tore somebody down and said that was the power of Beelzebub? How can they accuse Jesus of driving out demons by using the power of demons? Jesus don't use the power of demons. Jesus does not use the power of Satan. Jesus did not use the power of the devil, but Jesus uses the power of God, the Holy Spirit, to be able to do what he does. And so Jesus tells us and shows us that even though people are going to say everything, nasty thing about you, don't worry. Don't respond back in hate. Respond back in love. Don't respond back in frustration. Respond back with the word. And so all I got to share with you this morning is the fact that if you're not careful with your words, Bible says, Jesus says, but I tell you that everyone will have to give account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. Not some people, but everyone. Somebody say everyone. I didn't say it, Jesus said it. Everyone will have to give account on that day of judgment for every empty word that they have spoken, every empty word that pushed somebody away from God, every empty word that caused somebody to question their decision to join Christ or join the church, every empty word that had no value in the kingdom of God, every empty word that caused disunity, every empty word that caused somebody to fall away from the faith. You are going to be held accountable. And Jesus says, for by your words, not somebody else's words, but by your words, either you will be acquitted or by your words, you will be condemned. I just got to drop it on you like this. Some people out here pretending to be all good and Christian are speaking words that are tearing other people down. And by your words, you're going to either be condemned or you can be acquitted. I can only hope that after this message, you want to pray to God right now to change your heart, change your mind, and also transform your tongue, because I don't want you to be condemned. I don't want you to be locked up by your words, but I want you to be set free. I want your words to set other people free. I want your words to be words that are validating, life-changing, loving, and appreciating. I want your words to speak God, Jesus only, always. I want your words to help somebody out, because if your words help somebody, then God is going to remember that. It's not only what you do, but it's also what you say that's going to get you caught up at the end. And so are you going to speak it in a way that God is going to be pleased, or are you going to keep on talking your foolishness and end up condemned in a burning hell? That's my message to you. Yeah, I know that wasn't that sermon that said, Pastor, I came here today because I wanted you to have me run around the church. Look, God has assigned me to feed the flock, help you grow spiritually, but also maintain a spirit of unity in this church. And every once in a while, now most times, a rebuke is necessary for myself. And if I got to be rebuked, everybody got to be rebuked. Because we're all in this together. You won't be able to comprehend all that God has shown me for this church. But we got to get out of our way. We got to ask God to restrain our tongues and our mouths from saying things that can be harmful to somebody else's growth and development in the gospel of Jesus Christ. We want the church. And I'm going, you know, for so many years we said COVID really hurt us bad. COVID was never the issue. People were leaving the church before COVID. They just used COVID as an excuse not to come as much.
The issue was our cancerous tongue spreading like gangrene, the hateful words that we have spread. I'm not just speaking to us now, but universally. The church in a way hurt ourselves. But by God, Jesus' word, we have an opportunity to seek the power of God's Spirit, to be liberated from that chain of oppression, of tearing others down with our tongue. Because I don't know about you. It's just not about your physical deeds. But we learned today that when that time comes, God will have a conversation about what you said to harm somebody else. Are you using words that's helping people find their way to Christ so that they can have a lasting relationship with God? Or are you pushing them away with your hateful words? We stand today as the doors of the church are open.